Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Now that we've shut down the Patreon and we're no longer putting out new episodes over there, we wanted to put some of the old episodes out here on the free feed. But due to how old some of them are, we wanted to provide a little bit of context before each episode. So this episode was recorded in July 2022, and this is a portion of the episode where we do a website teardown. If you are interested in having your website tore down on a podcast, just reach out to us. We'd be happy to give you some advice, kind of point you in the right direction. Hopefully this is valuable to anyone listening, because the person in this podcast is making very common mistakes. And if you can just shore up some of these mistakes, you're going to do quite well. Towards the end of the episode, I give some advice that I'm actually going to teach at our live event happening this July. I think this will be part of the VIP day. I really want to go in depth on some of this content. And we'd love to have you at the live event. If you're a student and you're listening to this and you haven't signed up yet, dropshipbreakthrough.com/live. We'd love to see you in Minneapolis. And if you are someone listening to this who's thinking about joining the course and you'd love to come to the live event, book a call with us, dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. Hop on a call with John or myself, and we'll set you up with course access and a live event ticket.
Justin, one of our listeners, was good enough to put his website forward, his high ticket dropshipping website forward, for a website teardown. So we mean Ben are going to look at it. We've done these in the past. We haven't done one for a little while, actually, which is cool that we've got this one to do, and give some feedback on what we think of the business, and all that sort of thing from what we can see looking from the outside. So Justin's business is called Mirrors Direct. You can, while you're listening, look at it at www.mirrorsdirect.com.au. And no surprise from the URL and the business name, Justin sells mirrors. And I've got to say, looking at coming onto Justin's site, I like, just looking at the design, it's a super clean looking website. I've seen a lot of worse looking websites than this one in the high ticket dropshipping space. This one's super clean, but maybe just starting at the start, what do you think about the niche, Ben? Mirrors.
So we started talking about this before the call, and I actually think I have a different opinion than you. So why don't you go with your angle first of like, I kind of like it, John. I'm not going to lie. It's unique. I kind of like it, but I know you, you have your own opinion here.
I do. Look, I'm not saying I like it from some perspectives, but there's a couple of perspectives that I don't like it. Now I know Justin started this website. He's a member of Dropship Breakthrough. He actually started this website before he came to us. So, the methodology that he used to come up with this, this niche was exactly what he was told to do. And he's followed those instructions well, but it's a little bit different to how we teach it in Dropship Breakthrough. But having said that, it's good in that it's a perfectly fine product to dropship and all that sort of thing. And it's very simple. There's pros to the products, and it's a fairly straightforward little niche. But it's in Australia, right? So while most things that we do are the same between, say, Australia and the US, from marketing and all of that sort of perspective. One of the differences, obviously, is that the population here is much smaller. So what tends to be a struggle sometimes is very specific niches, like very focused on just one type of product, because you don't tend to have the same market size that you have in the US. So the amount that your business, the size your business can grow to is going to be a lot smaller if all you're doing is selling one type of product. There's only ever X amount of people who are looking to buy an expensive mirror at one point in time in Australia, and it's nowhere near as big as it is in the US. So that's a bit of a limiting factor for me. Usually in a smaller country, I do recommend people go a little bit broader than that and try to bring in a few different product types that you can sell to the same ideal customer. And riffing off that, the other downside that I see here is that there's very limited recurring revenue potential. at least in my view. So one of the things I always am encouraging people to think about when we're doing Dropship Breakthrough, when you're doing your market selection or your niche selection, is to go with something where you can see, go with an idea where you can see a potential for your ideal customer to buy from you a second or a third time or more, right? Because if you can do that, you're building more profit into your business. They're easier sales to make, so on and such forth. With mirrors, just selling mirrors, expensive mirrors, because we're obviously high-ticket dropshipping here, I don't see that as much of that potential as I would like to see, personally. So I would say this is definitely a niche you can make some money with, for sure. I mean, yeah, you're going to sell some mirrors, but is it the strongest idea? There's definitely some downsides to it that I think, you know. Plus, it's in the homewares niche, and I personally dislike homewares.
So help me understand.
There's no brand. There's no brand here. There's no branded search here, or very little. People don't buy homewares based on brand. Nobody knows mirror brands. It's not a passion product, right? This is not a passion niche. It's not an interest-based niche. It kind of is for some people, but once again, having had a homewares store, as everybody knows in the past, there's very little brand recognition in this space. So your search, your SEO strategy, your Google Ads strategy is largely based around generic terms, you know, which is not, I'm not suggesting that's a massive negative or anything like that. It can all definitely work with that. It's just a little bit more difficult to get the ball rolling, particularly.
All right, let me ask you. So I just want to ask a question before I dive in. If this were in America, would your opinion of it change?
Depending on the competition for the products, a little bit. I would still have the same concerns around things like recurring revenue and all of that sort of thing. But it's easier to run a single product type business in the US just because you have more volume. So that there's more space to move. But I still, in the US, I don't recommend people do homewares.
All right. I'm just going to keep asking questions before I say any definitely. Opinions. You have more experience here, right? So you believe you ran ads for a company that probably sold some of these, right? They sold a lot of homewares, did a lot of bathroom stuff, right? Was this part of that package? Did you sell any over there? Is that something that like moves?
I'm sure it moves. It was not in other businesses that I've worked with that had these products on their site. No, it was not one of the big selling product types for those sites, but then it wasn't the focus either. I mean, so, you know, they were more focused on selling other products for like bathrooms and that sort of thing. You know, so, like I say, there's definitely money to be made here in this market, in my opinion. But it's I just see a number of, with this particular business as it's set right now, just a number of fixed points that it's not going to grow past, right? And that's a lot lower than it could be, say, if these products were part of another store, or if you went with a lot of other ideas out there. You know, there's like there's a fixed ceiling here, is what I'm saying, right? And that's not particularly high, in my opinion.
I am going to be particularly high in about an hour here. I just thought I'd put that out there. Let's get back to the website here. This website, like first glance, fantastic. As you said, like it looks really, really good.
Looks nice.
My gut is screaming, this is a fucking winner. And I don't know why. And so that's why I wanted to ask you some questions around it. And it only screams it's a winner because it looks so fucking good. It looks fantastic. There are many, many, many locations, at least in America, and I can only speak to America, where businesses would be all over unique mirrors like this. Now, are they going to mirrorsdirect.com.au to buy those mirrors? I don't know. Are they going to the vendors themselves, which, again, you said there is no branded search here. Nobody's looking for a brand of mirrors, which I think actually like serves you well. That is not to say that I don't think there's a ceiling here, But I think you could get to that ceiling fucking fast. And this could almost operate with very little ad spend and you just crushing long tail mirror keywords and absolutely owning that. So on that note, I'd love to just, you know, like dive in. Again, this looks fantastic. Whoever built this site for you or whatever work you did, or like, this looks unbelievable to me. Like, I'm very, very thrilled at how this website looks. It's quite simple yet clean, very, very clean. And I'm not disappointed with anything I see on the homepage other than some of these blog posts, if I'm honest.
Yeah, look, the homepage looks quite nice. It does. And, you know, as you say, I mean, it's a simple site, but sometimes the simple stuff works best. I mean, it's not going to be slow and all of that sort of thing. It doesn't look like it's weighted down with any particular dangly bits that are unnecessary or anything like that. I mean, obviously, I'll let you talk about the blog posts in a moment. But from a design perspective, it's pretty good. I think, you know, particularly for like homewares, I think that's a good idea. And I just want to go back to what you're saying. Definitely one of the ways that you could take this further, and once again, in my experience, is if you like the retail market in Australia for this stuff is not going to be huge. That's what I'm putting out there. B2B though, I agree. I do agree with what you're saying about B2B. There's a lot of potential there. So I certainly found a lot of B2B sales when I was doing lighting, which is another homewares niche. You've got a, particularly if you put some purposeful work into that, that's actually directed in that direction. I think there is a lot of potential there that you can take the business a lot further than if you just focused on the B2C aspect. So I would definitely say that. Look, once again, product pages, nice and simple. I don't see a lot that I would change necessarily. The only thing I would probably change is on the product page is, you know, talk a little bit more about, as well as talking about the product. Like, I'd like to see a little bit more of a reflection of the business's USP on there, whatever that is, you know, just so people get hit with that a little bit when they're on the product page, which is probably at the moment for this website, one of the primary landing pages. So why are people buying from you? I know it's on the page, but I'd have it a bit higher up. Yeah.
If you want to jump to product page, first off, I'm laughing because we don't use the word fortnightly in America. So I don't know why that's funny to me. Make 4 interest repayments of blah, 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 fortnightly with Afterpay. I don't know. That cracks me up. I do think that 5% off, that's something like I had Laura from way back when I first started in DSL in 2015, I had Laura code me this. So she is the inventor of the get whatever off, and then the never ending expiring date that just resets itself every night at midnight. We ran with that. I think Corey and I taught that way back in the day at Easy E-commerce, whatever the hell it was called. I've seen this a lot of places. I don't think I like it anymore. I don't even know why I did it, if I'm on it. Like, it doesn't look like it fits on this page. And then I would say, you know, I think the buy with PayPal, I'm not a huge fan of that. I don't know if that's a big popular thing in Australia. I'm not a fan of PayPal.
Yeah.
Don't want that on that page. No one is. I would rather have Apple Pay on that page or something that's a little more popular over here. I think your add to cart blue needs a different color too. Just something pops off a little more. And then I think your descriptions are... they're well written from what I've read in the first part of it, but I think they're just due to how clean your website is. Like I'm on the Zeta wall mirror. The image, there's like nothing to the image because there's nothing to the mirror. And then I get down to the description and there's like it's too clean. Like nothing is standing out of like I actually want to see this. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not thrilled with the product page as it currently stands. I would love to see some people actually having that mirror somewhere in their design. But look, I can get nitpicky even more, but I'd rather give you like actionable shit here. If that's okay with you, John, I'm just going to rant for a little bit if that's cool.
Yeah. Rant.
All right. Rant. All right. So I just scroll around usually. I'm just trying to work my way around the site. So I see shop all mirrors. I see shop by tight. I see shop by shape. I see mirrored furniture, which I don't even know what that is. I'm going to click on it just because furniture with mirrors. That totally makes sense for mirrored furniture. I went to the bottom and I clicked about us. A lot of your customers are definitely clicking about us and they're reading Mirrors Direct is an online retailer providing competitive prices on mirrors. We aim to provide a member. This is the worst about us page I've seen in a long time. Do yourself a favor and actually like write out that, like, if people are shopping for mirrors and you're the place to buy them, talk about being the place to buy them and that you care about decor and tell a story about your mom showing you some vintage 50s mirrors sometime when you were a kid, or like be authentic here and like do a good job on this about us page. This is not good. I would get rid of the price match unless that's a thing in Australia. The rest of the pages are probably fine. Where I would tell you to win on this site is like your shop by type and your shop by shape. You can win way harder on these. So first off, I would question whether someone who's searching rectangle mirrors is the right keyword you want to rank for. Is that a collection page? So just search the keyword, go to Google. Is that actually what they're showing you? Is it a collection page? Are they looking for listicles instead? Are they looking for a product? Give them what they want on these terms and then actually hit the term. So when I went to rectangle collection, it's simply named rectangle. So the only thing this is going to rank for is rectangle. Is that the term you'd like to rank for? Rectangle? Because if it is, good, you're doing the right thing. Likely, though, you want to rank for rectangle mirrors. And even more so, you might want to break this down a little bit further into rectangle wall mirrors or rectangle bathroom mirrors. Or like, there's going to be long tails galore here that you should want to rank for. And I don't know whether that'll be a collection page, a product page, or a article of some sort. You have to do that research. So go find all the long tails, then go to Google and search them and see what results Google is showing you in the top 10. You'll likely see a consensus of 5, 6, 7 or more that are all one type of page. Give Google that same type of page on your website. But there is long tails galore here, and I think you're not targeting any of the right keywords. And this is what I meant by, like, you might hit the ceiling, but I think you can get there quick. If you can find the keywords for your collections, and you can find the keywords for your products, and find the articles that you should write, and then just execute on that plan, 1 year from now, you should be a ranking machine. And, you know, just kind of sitting back collecting checks as you ship off random mirrors here. And I do agree with John. I don't see how you scale this other than B2B, where maybe you get in with some great designers who know they can come to you for these, you know, cool looking mirrors. I would encourage you to find some really cool looking ones that out of the box designers are going to keep coming back to you for. But I think you can hit the ceiling, John. I think you could probably make $5,000-$10,000 profit a month. Maybe not in Australia. I'm definitely thinking America here.
You can make that much for sure. You can make 10 grand. I think you could get to 10 grand a month in profit here. Or even a little bit past that, for sure. You could. And then you've got a valuable little asset that you could flip, you know, if you don't love mirrors.
Yeah, or just let it sit and keep collecting. You know what I mean? Like, just keep finding more long tails and just, this site is what it is. I don't think this is ever going to be something massive, but it's not small either. I think this could be a nice little side piece that could make you some money if you're willing to put in the work.
Yeah, and I think it's worth pointing out, Justin hasn't been running this for a long time either. So this isn't an old site by any stretch. So I think on the SEO side, yeah, that's something that's just for Justin is just starting. So
yeah,
definitely he's going to listen to this and just following, you know, implementing all the stuff that I know is in Dropship Breakthrough that we teach in there is going to make a massive difference on the organic side for sure.
Yeah, I think you could crush here. You could easily come in with your own something cool. You could partner with a manufacturer and get custom mirrors made for people. That's where you could really pull in the dough. And then, you know, trying to find a way to get in front of Marriott when they're building a new hotel in Sydney and they need to get one specially shaped mirror for every room in the hotel. Like, that's where you're going to make bank, right? When they come to you and say, we need 369 wavy mirrors. Yeah, it sounds great. We'll get that to you right away. You know what I mean? Like, those are the type of orders where I think you could really crush here. And it's all going to be ranking for these long tail keywords that are, you know, they might be hard to discover the different shapes and different verb adjectives, whatever it is, like whatever word people are putting in front of mirror, you're going to have to go find all of those and then find a way to rank for those. Some of them will be worth running ads on. Most of them won't probably. And, you know, own them and build content around them so that they rank incredibly well, and it, which I think is, you know, probably easier to do in Australia than it is in America. And at that point, you can start creating your own products as well if you want to. If you start seeing that you sell a lot of those round makeup mirrors with the light ring on the outside, I guarantee you could go to AliExpress right now and find a manufacturer of those and get them made yourself. And if that turns out to be a great seller for you, then jump right in front of it. Put yours at the top of the list.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So just a tip, an experience tip for me, because I with the lights that I was selling, I definitely had that. Big venues being built, need a lot of lights, going to come to you. Make connections with interior designers, right? Interior designers and architectural firms. Those big companies like a hotel never buys their interior stuff direct. They just bring in an interior design firm and they say, make our shit look pretty. And that interior design firm will have a big budget and they'll go and buy all the stuff. So if you've got the connection with them and they're easy to find, then you're gonna get those some of those sort of projects happening for sure.
Yeah, some of these are cool.
What do you think?
I can picture. Sorry? Some of these are cool. I can picture like a Cresanto backlit bathroom. Basically, it's a big rectangle with backlight. You're going to see that at high end places, right? And so, how can you go get in front of those? Like, what is the keyword? The designer of the high end place is searching on Google so that you can get in front of it and sell the piss out of it. That's what I'd be focusing on. I think the furniture might be a play that I would avoid personally. I hate furniture. But I think you could do a lot of cool stuff with just these long tail keywords around mirrors.
Yep. So you kind of obliquely mentioned it before. What do you think of Justin's obviously started doing a little bit of work on the content front here with the blog posts and that sort of thing? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was the same. I'm going to get back there real quick. I thought it was the same thing. Just without doing any research, I think you're targeting the wrong keywords, like you are on a lot of these collection pages. And that's usually the case with somebody who's new. They're not super fluent on keyword research, which is something I'd love to do some deep dives on that, John, sometimes, just whether it's a group coaching call or whatever it is, just, you know, break this down. So if anyone's volunteering, let's find a website and let's go do, you know, an hour long live of just breaking the shit. I could do that stuff all day. SEO makes me smile. So when I looked at it, the first thing I saw was like your guide to every kind of wall mirror in the market. I don't think anyone's searching every kind of wall mirror in the market, right? Like that's not a keyword people are searching. And so you should be, your titles are what people are, that's the keyword you want to rank for. And so I would, you know, find out what keyword actually makes sense for some of these and change the title of these blog posts. So like things to remember when buying a full length, I can imagine that is a great piece of customer journey content. If you were to capture somebody on the full length collection page, capture their email, and you were going to walk them through a journey, this piece is likely going to be one of them. Or the seven things that you need to remember, and there are seven different emails that you're, you know, walking someone through, but that's not likely something that's going to rank. And so you have to kind of think both sides here. How can I attack the keyword, which again is what people are searching for anyway, so that I rank, but also like give the customer what they need. And it's kind of a fine line to walk, but I think if you can do good keyword research on this site, it's going to treat you pretty well. Have you looked at any of these blog posts, John? Are they good? that's another question to ask, you know?
Look, I mean, there's some good things about them. They're the right length. The writing is a good, at least of what I've looked at, is decent quality writing. As in, you know, the use of the language is good. Often I see people who have put together content in a fairly rushed way or used an external source to produce it that it's just doesn't even read well. But I think, they look fine and all of that sort of thing. As Ben said, it's probably more just what's the purpose of them? Like, so things to remember when buying a full length mirror. To me, that's a perfect thing to use as an opt-in, right? So that would be like, you could turn that into a download off another piece of content that, you know, relates to, you know, mirrors, full length mirrors potentially. Because once again, that's not an SEO piece of content, but it's a great customer journey piece of content. And sometimes those are the best things to get people onto an email list around, because those people are, you know, hungry to learn more.
So I think people kind of shoot themselves in the foot on this a little bit too, John. Like, I don't think I'm ready for this rant yet, but I'll touch on it a little bit. There's advice out there that wants you to build pages like this, things to remember when buying a full-length mirror. And the first heading they have is, what is a full-length mirror? That you're clearly going after the keyword full-length mirror here, when you should not be. If you go search full-length mirror, Google is not looking for an ultimate guide to blank, which there's a lot of advice in the marketplace telling you go create that about your content. And I'm here to tell you, give Google what it wants. So I agree with John. This is not a piece of content I would want to rank, let alone you're ranking it for the wrong keyword and you're fighting yourself. So if you go to the bottom of this page, they're linking to full-length mirror, which is their collection / full-length mirrors, which is probably what Google actually wants here. And so now you're just fighting yourself. Now you're cannibalizing your own content by ranking for the same thing and building everything you need to know type of article when that's not necessarily what you should be wanting to rank for here. So I've just... What is a full-length mirror? I don't think needs to exist. Look, I can get super, super nitpicky here, but I care more about the SEO strategy behind it than anything. Or if it's customer journey-based, I love that. Like, everyone should have a customer journey that their customers are going on when they buy, and whether they land on a product or a collection or an article, they're in a different step of that journey, and your job is to create the content that brings them to the next step. So if that's what this piece is, great. That's how you should be using it. I don't think I would feature it. And maybe that's just a flaw of the theme itself that's featuring your most recent blog posts on your homepage. But
I think it's just been a bit more intentional about the purpose of various pieces of content, right? You've got content for the customer journey. You've got content to rank in search engines or pages, whatever. And then you can have content that you specifically use to generate backlinks as well. Now, sometimes there's a crossover between those things, or three of those things, or two of those things, or something like that, but sometimes there's not. Like, a great piece of customer journey content isn't really ever going to rank. So do you need to have that, like, posted on your website as such? You don't necessarily need to have it on your website, you know, where it's just going to be, you know, sitting out there not doing much on your website. Right, you can serve that to customers in other ways, that piece of content that's actually going to, you know, serve your business better, in my opinion. So
this is the exact topic I'm struggling to teach, John, that I want in the course. And I teach it to my consulting clients, and I don't actually know how to get it out of Ben's fucking head and, like, give you a framework through which it's applied to each business. Like, I could come into here and teach this on mirrors, but I don't know if that same person who saw me do it on here is going to be able to apply it to their business. I do think there is this yellow brick road. We'll call it the yellow brick road on where customer journey is on the left and Google's robot is on the right. And that if you can pair these together and give Google what it wants, while also by giving Google what it wants, you're going to find the customer's questions they're already asking in that journey. And then you can create the pieces of content for it, which can be your blog post, which can be repurposed as emails, which can be repurposed as follow-up content for some of these questions. And if you can just walk that yellow brick road right down the middle, which is easier said than done, of course, and kill two birds with one stone here, you're going to be so much further ahead a year from now than I think most people are. And so yeah, I encourage anyone listening to this, if you're a member of the course and you're like, Ben, get that fucking shit in the course, yeah, please yell at me, because I've been really struggling with how to get this out. John yells at me often and loudly, and so it'll be in there soon. But, like, if you can find that middle ground, that's where you really crush it. And just a real quick side note, John, I fucking love doing these. If you're one of the, you know, whatever, 5-6 dozen people we have on our Patreon currently, and you want us to give you advice on your site, I want to do more of these, and I think this is an easy... fun way for us to do content on the Patreon. So if you're listening to this and you want us to talk about your website, please reach out. I did create a Gmail while we're in here. It is, of course I closed the window. It is dropshippatreonpodcast@gmail.com. dropshippatreonpodcast@gmail.com. Please do not share. This is for Patreon listeners only, or elite members. If you are listening to this in the elite section of our course in Kajabi, same thing. You can use this Gmail address to send us questions. I will send out notifications on Patreon to the Patreon listeners so that you know ahead of time, hey, we're going to do a Q&A episode, fill up this inbox kind of thing. And so let's see how this works. Let's try that out and see if that Gmail works. But if you you want us to tear it on your website, send that there as well, or put it in the Facebook group or DM us or whatever you need to do to get a hold of us. Cause this is, I like doing this stuff. You know, I feel like personally, and I'm sure you're the same way, John, you could hop into someone's business, even if it's for 20 or 30 minutes, and probably give them direction that they've been, you know, desperately seeking. And so this is why I'm such a big fan of coaching, big fan of finding mentors, because someone who's been there before is going to see where you should go really quickly and be able to give you that advice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And shout out to Justin once again. Thanks, buddy, for suggesting your website. I think you've made a great start there. It's looking good. Just gotta keep working at it. And there's some good potential there.
Yeah, I'm pumped for you. Thank you, Justin. I don't think I've ever interacted with you personally, but I'm going to try to do an office hours late at night coming soon here in the next couple of weeks so that I can meet all of these Aussie wonderful folks and spend a little time with you. So hopefully you're able to hop on that call. Thank you so much for that. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.